Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about the shadow of the mind, the shadow in which evil lurks, the shadow in which you can be controlled. We're talking about zombies, and in the modern day world that are real, that are actually eating out your substance, biting you, taking a bite out of you. It tells you in the Bible, beware that you do not bite one another, lest ye be devoured. And of course, you see all the zombie movies out of zombies going around and biting one another. And you have to be careful that you don't bring somebody into your camp that's been bitten by a zombie, because then he may become a zombie, and then he will start biting you, and then everybody in your camp will soon be contaminated. You'll all be biting one another. It's a movie. But it's real. It's really happening today. It's happened all over the United States. It's happened all over the world. People are biting one another, devouring one another. Where does that spirit of zombieism come from? It comes from coveting your neighbor. The coveting practices. Through coveting practices, you curse your children. We just talked about the debt that all your children are in because you decided to send them to public school. That's called tutor in ancient Roman law, where you get the word tutorial. But it's paid for by the government coffers, treasuries, Corbin, the sacrifice of the people. Your children learn from these free gifts that aren't free. There are strings attached. Through that welfare, you are snared and trapped in a system. And your children are snared and trapped in a system where they must pay back the debt that they have created by borrowing from the future, which is not keeping the Sabbath. Originally, in the beginning of the show, I said people aren't keeping the Sabbath. And of course, everybody thinks, oh, the Sabbath, that's about the day. That's about taking the seventh day and resting. No, it's about working 6 days so that you can rest on the seventh day. That's how you keep it holy. You work 6 days. They miss that. It's right there in the text. He worked 6 days so that he could take a day of rest. You borrow against the next 6 days so you can rest today. You do that everywhere. That's the spirit that you're living by. That's the way in which you're operating. And now you're in debt. And now you're in bondage. You want to throw off the tyrants. You're the tyrant. You're the one, and your parents are the ones who forced your neighbors to send you to public education. I mean, pay for your going to public education. You forced your neighbors to pay for that education, that brainwashing. The mere act of sending your kids to public education is a zombie act, because you have to turn off the shadow that we talked about in the last program. Carl Jung's The Shadow Aspect, and where he says it may refer to an unconscious aspect of the personality which the conscious ego does not identify in itself, because one tends to reject or remain ignorant, chooses to remain ignorant of the least desirable aspect of one's personality, the shadow is largely negative. People want to remain ignorant of the fact that to send your children to public education is a covetous practice. You desire that your neighbor pay out the $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 required to educate your children in school today. But tomorrow your children will be in bondage to pay back that debt, which is ever growing. It's an age-old Babylonian trick. And because you're not Sabbath keepers, and that goes for all you Seventh-day Adventists, you're not Sabbath keepers, if you're in debt, and if you use public benefits, you're in debt, because all public benefits are provided, including Social Security, are provided by debt. You're not a Sabbath keeper. You just go to the Seventh-day Adventist Church to fool yourselves, to drug yourselves, to help that, you ask that religion, help keep the shadow of my personality a secret from my conscious mind. Give me rituals to perform. I don't want to pick on Seventh-day Adventists. I'm sure there are all kinds of Sabbath keepers out there. You know, your Messianic Jews, your Jews, even, who think they're Sabbath keepers. Lunar calendar, solar calendar, doesn't make any difference. Counting seven from the moon, doesn't make any difference. All delusion. All delusion to keep you in the shadow. Sabbath is easy. Work, earn your rest. Work, earn your benefit. Invest in today your time and energy so that tomorrow you may be at rest. That's the way it works. That's it. You don't need any of the other things. You don't need robes. You don't need calendars. You don't need rituals. If you think you do, you're under a delusion. You're living in the shadow. And you use your religion to make you feel comfortable in the shadow. I'm telling you the truth. The unconscious aspect of your personality, which is your covetous practices, which the conscious ego does not want to see and identify, and that you want to reject or remain ignorant of, is the least desirable of one's personality and is negative. The second thing, you know, they have two things that may refer to the shadow aspect, may also refer to the entirety of the unconscious. Everything of which a person is not fully conscious. Now I'm telling you the truth. Make straight the way of the Lord. Start providing for yourself by working today. And not borrowing against the future. Certainly not borrowing for your children. Helping your neighbor so that they don't have to send their children to public education. Creating a network of benefits where you actually physically show and demonstrate love for one another. That's what the network is about. That's why everybody should be joining the network. Jung goes on to say that there are positive aspects which may also remain hidden in one's shadow, especially in people with low self-esteem. That's the way they think is going on. Contrary to Freudian definition of the shadow, therefore, the Jungian shadow can include everything outside of the light of consciousness. They actually use that phrase, the light of consciousness, and may be positive or negative. Everyone, now that's, of course, those are relative terms. He says, you know, he writes, Jung wrote, everyone carries a shadow. And the less it is embodied in the individual's conscious life, the blacker and denser it is. You see, you can't see the zombie virus that comes with those covetous practices. You bite out of your neighbor, you become, and they can become, if they resent your bite, they can become zombies too. And somebody on one of our networks is inviting everybody to the Ozark Plateau, because it's one of the few places, and it's a beautiful place. You know, I mean, the country and the climate and the central location and the woods and the springs and the artesian waters and all that stuff. Of course, it's in the Madrid Fault area. But he says, this is where we have to go to survive. Why aren't you publishing this on throughout your network so that everybody comes here? Because this is where you need to be. And he's publishing this on the internet. Zombies can read. Zombies are the first survivalists. They don't want to serve one another. They want, except, you know, like the old Outer Limits, you know, to serve man, it's a cookbook. They want to eat you. They want to survive. They're the reason the zombies are biting people is so that they will survive. The virus, whatever you want to call it in the movies. It's so that they will survive. It's about their egos surviving. And they will bite you. And he's inviting zombies to his hideout. You're crazy. That's why we create the network. The network has a built-in filter. Filters out zombies. Now, the network, the living network, is actually congregations of record where people are giving weekly, daily, should be giving daily time, energy, even money, if that's what they want to give, out of love for one another. When you start doing that, you start being drawn near the light. Remember, the word sacrifice in the Hebrew is from the word to draw near. You see, when you're selfish, you're drawn near the dark, the shadow. Like he says, even Jung says, the blacker it becomes. Everyone carries a shadow. And the less it is embodied in the individual conscious life, the blacker and denser it is. What is the shadow? Your covetous practices. That is one of the key things. And that's why John the Baptist talks about it. When they ask him about his baptism, he says, this is it. This is the basic. You know, he didn't say believe in Jesus. He said, if your neighbor has no coat and you have an extra, share. Do the same in meats. Take care of one another. Love one another. This is what Jesus was saying. This is the gospel. Do this in as organized a fashion from the ground up, not from the top down. Your leaders are servants to show you how to serve. And you come to church to serve. If you come to church to be served, they will slice you and dice you and serve you on a platter. Like John the Baptist's head. Why do you think they put it on a platter? Because he was preaching against their covetous practices. He was a voice in the wilderness saying, make straight the way of the Lord. What is that? The way of faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You're not doing that. You're going to church to feel good. To imagine that your ego, your conscious ego, is saved. While the unconscious aspects of your personality are coveting your neighbor's goods by sending your children to public school, depending upon government paid for fire departments, police departments, everything. Which gives more and more power to those people who we talked about who are out there desiring mandatory annual mental health evaluations because you actually think that loving your neighbor as yourself means to actually help your neighbor in real ways so they don't have to go to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. They think you're mentally ill. They think that your desire to love your neighbor is oppositional defiant disorder. This is why Christians were burned alive in North Africa by the Emperor Saturninus. Because they would not sign up for the covetous practices systems of social welfare run through the government temples, religious temples of Rome, which you today would call Social Security, welfare, CDC. These are the temples of Rome. They are operated and funded by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And Jesus said you are not to be that way, but the modern church says, yeah, go ahead and do that. Even though, in reality, every time you take a benefit, you not only take a bite out of your neighbor, but you take a bite out of your neighbor's children who are in debt every day more and more and will have to pay this back. You are not keeping the Sabbath. You are not keeping God as the only God before you. You are making other men gods through your covetous and covenanting processes. You are covenanting. You are making contracts by your application. And I tell you, if you understand what I'm talking about, there must be divine intervention of the Holy Spirit, because a zombie can't understand what I'm talking about. They think I'm crazy. They think that the idea of creating a society operating by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, by taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, everybody in the network should belong to a congregation of recorded elders, what we call CORE. And everybody in that network should devote 10% of their energy every week to all the CORES, not just to their own CORE, to every CORE group, every congregation of record. And anybody who joins the email network on the Google Groups and doesn't seek to belong to a congregation of record, and I say belong to, they don't really belong to, you know, participate with a congregation of record. We could have called it congregation of testimony, a congregation of love, but it didn't make a word like CORE. You know, if it was a congregation of testimony, it would be caught. It was congregation of witness, which is your witness to your love for one another, you'd be called cows. So, but if we call it congregation of recorded elders, then we can call it a CORE group. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what you call it. I mean, like you call a Sabbath the Sabbath. It isn't the Sabbath unless you've worked 6 days to have what you have. But you don't have what you have because you worked 6 days. You have what you have because you borrowed against the future. You've been out there trying to save yourself, make yourself comfortable, get your own religion that will drug you. You've gone from, you know, whether it's marijuana or methamphetamines or, I don't know the drugs. I'm a bad one for remembering all the different drugs that you could take, whatever it is, heroin, you've gone from that to religion. Or politics, which is just another form of religion. You know, you're going to get active in politics. I thought about that once, getting active in politics. Maybe that was but that's not the problem. The problem is that shadow in your mind. The unconscious aspects of your personality, which says it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods because that's the way we do things in the world today, in zombie land. We take from our neighbor so that we can have public education. We take from our neighbor so that we can have Social Security. We take from our neighbor so that we can have health care. And the people who are running your health care are setting up surveillance for mental illness. You know what mental illness is? You know, always it was funny in some of the movies that, was it Zombieland? Whichever one was Bill Murray showed up in suddenly, just out of nowhere. And he's dressed up like a zombie. And he goes out dressed up like a zombie and moving like a zombie because he likes to get out and mingle with the other zombies. We have to do that. If we want to go out amongst other people, we have to look like them. We don't want them to know that we're awake and that we understand that they're all taking a bite out of one another and eating and devouring one another. We don't want them to know that, because if we admit that and say, well, we don't bite out of one another, they will attack us and try to contaminate us with their zombie virus. You know? And even Shaun of the Dead, they imitate the zombie so they can walk through this public square. And because as soon as the zombies realize you're not a zombie, you're on the menu. They want to eat you. They want to bite you. That's why Christians got burned. They weren't zombies. They weren't Roman zombies. They weren't praying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. This is the dividing line between Christianity. At least one. There's at least 10. Thou shalt not kill. You know, the whole rundown. But thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's, or including thy neighbor's wife. And the feminist revolution has made every wife belong to the state. She's not exempt. She can be taken off the street and put to work. She's a member of the religion of the state. You know, if we go back to that quote from Lou Rockwell, which is actually just a quote from somebody else. It's paraphrased from somebody else. But what was that quote? What we need is a comprehensive ideology of liberty to displace the comprehensive ideology of statism with no compromises. Okay, let's interpret that. Who had the ideology of liberty? A comprehensive ideology of liberty. John the Baptist. Your neighbor has, how does the state get power? You apply to it for benefits. What should have been for your welfare from them is actually a snare. I mean, you go read the books have been around for years that tell you how this works. I was trying to think of one of the books. I'm so bad at names. But anyway, I know what it is. Animal Farm. There we go. Animal Farm. Well, I mean, you put out corn. I mean, we see the joke. You put out corn. The pig comes in, eats the corn. Every day you just put out that free corn. And then you slam the gate. And he's now a domestic pig. You're a domestic sheep. They brought you in and they've cultivated you. But the ideology of liberty is that you start taking care of yourself. You don't eat the free corn. You work and produce your own corn. But in order to do this successfully in zombie land, you have to care. You have to be able to cure zombies. How do you cure a zombie? You bless them. And, you know, well, I'm not going to go into the details of that, but you think about what were the Essenes doing? They took care of all their social welfare needs. They did not need to go and take the benefits of Herod and the benefits of the Pharisees or the benefits of Rome. They didn't even want to travel on Roman roads. They traveled, it says, the ancient paths, which is actually a metaphor for the ways of the ancients, which was they took care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, through free will offerings of sacrifice. I mean, like I say, I've said it many times, you won't find the word charity anywhere in the Old Testament, but you find the word sacrifice. You find the word charity all over the New Testament. Now, the fact is, we also find in the New Testament that Moses and Jesus Christ are in agreement. So there isn't a vengeful God of the Old Testament and a blessing, loving God of the New Testament. It's the same God yesterday as it was today and tomorrow. Your interpretation of the Old Testament is in error. You do error. Jesus was pointing this out to the Pharisees. You do error. You erred about Sabbath. You think the Sabbath is a day. Sabbath is a way. Covetousness is a way. Non-covetousness is another way. One is the way of Christ and one is the way of statism. The covetous system will make you merchandise. You will belong to the state. That's why I was correcting myself. You don't really belong to a congregation. You gather together in free assemblies. You don't belong to the church. You're free assemblies. Now, we have ID that we travel around with. And it works for those of us who God spares. You know, we get on planes with that ID. It's not state issued. It's church issued. So what's the big deal? Well, should we do that for everybody in the congregation? Well, how do you get in a congregation? You just show up? You know, besides, you should be able to produce your own. You're the government. We're not the government. We're the servants of government. The government is the government of the people, for the people, by the people. You remember that phrase that comes from Abraham Lincoln? This is the government of the people, for the people, by the people kind of thing. He got that out of the Wycliffe Bible, written hundreds of years before. It's in the introduction to the Wycliffe Bible. This book was written for the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. But you're not that. You're lost in religion. Wake up. We'll talk more about the solution when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. So anyway, we're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness is that you need to come together to serve one another, to lay down your life so that you have life more abundant. If you get together to try to justify the shadow of the fact that you are actually coveting your neighbor's goods and wanting men who exercise authority to take away from your neighbor so that you can have more benefits, then you are going contrary to the ways of God, and you will be drawn farther away from it into tyranny. And when those tyrannical zombies want to force you to be like them, they will have every reason and every power to do so. And you will not have, how many times in the Bible does it say, go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen for yourself? Those gods are the ones that you have cried to for benefits. And you cried for them for benefits so that they would take care of you and provide for you and be your salvation in this world. And in the next world, you will go to a place that does that, that takes a bite out of one another, that devours one another, that eats and feeds on one another. Where do you think that is? That's not the kingdom of God. You all have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. You will only have an inheritance in that place, spiritually. You see, everything in the spiritual realm existed prior to the physical realm. The physical realm was created by the spiritual. The spirit moved upon the waters, moved upon substance, and the physical realm came into being. You have fallen into the physical realm because you did not want to see the shadow of your own sin. This is what the whole story of original sin is about. It's not about a tree. It's not about an apple. It's not about a snake. Although these are the symbols telling you what's going on. The tree of knowledge is your vanity, your ego, trying to decide good and evil on your own, taking your brain, which is your tree of knowledge, and deciding good and evil on your own. That's what you're doing. That's what you're seeking to do, and that's the shadow aspect. Because you have denied the tree of life, and you've decided to eat of the tree of your own egotistical knowledge. That's why diplomas are so important. That's why they want to give you rewards in school. You know, a star. Make you feel proud. Give you self-esteem. But it isn't your esteem. It's the esteem they gave you. If they can make you happy, they can make you feel proud, then they can threaten to take that pride away from you and humiliate you. Now they have a hook in you. They have control. They will control the shadow being of yourself. And this is, you know, like we were talking about this study done for in 8 different studies, actually not just one. Identical twins studied prove homosexuality is not genetic. It cannot be genetic by the evidence of the study. Of the 8 different studies in Scandinavia and Australia and the United States, and some of these are very liberal countries. But the study doesn't lie. It's not genetic. Gays are not born. You're not born that way. You're made that way. How do they make you that way? They manipulate the shadow being of yourself. That's what they're doing. They're manipulating that shadow nature. And it's not hard to do. If I wanted to be a cult leader, it's pretty easy to do. But I have to give up my conscience. I have to stop eating of the tree of life and start eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and use that knowledge against you. It would be very easy. So many of you are very susceptible. I mean, I run into people all the time that are cult leaders' dreams. Almost everybody who believes that there is a political solution is a cult leader's dream. That's what they're looking for. They love that. That you think there's a political solution. The solution is in you. And when you start following that true solution of righteousness, guess what happens? Guess what starts happening? You start being drawn towards the light. And as you're drawn towards the light, you begin to understand the truth. And then you'll start to becoming free. But you have to continue in the practices of Christ's righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why? Because it will draw you near the truth and the way and the light. Now, if you continue with your covetous practices, it will draw you near the shadow. And the shadow will be able to manipulate you more. And this is where you actually can come and become possessed. Whole societies can become possessed and devour one another, kill one another. That's where you get your Holocaust from. And of course, in the Holocaust, they didn't just go after Jews, which, see, Jews, they needed a scapegoat. They needed somebody for you to hate. So that was an important thing, that you would hate somebody. And we see the same thing going on now. Hate the Muslims. Hate ISIS. Hate ISIL. We got to hate them. I get, there's somebody on my Facebook who's always, you know, what did he say? Something in a post that I just saw zooming by during the break. God blast Israel. He hates Israel because he's very pro-Palestinian. And I understand. You know, he's got a picture of a really cute little Palestinian girl. I guess she's Palestinian or something like this. And there's cute girls on both sides. It isn't about Israel. It's not about ISIS. It's not about Muslims. It's not about Jews. It's about righteousness or unrighteousness. But see, when you want to identify with, you know, an organization, then you're not identifying with the righteous. It didn't say seek, you know, the kingdom of God and my religion. It says seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, there isn't such a thing as Muslim terrorists. There are terrorists. There are evil people. If they're a Muslim, they're a Muslim, whatever that means. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, the Muslims are killing each other. The Christians are killing each other. You know, they're Christian bank robbers, and there are Muslim bank robbers. Those are all, you know, that's like, you know, people wear clothes. They put that on. That's just to help them feel good about their shadow. The part of their aspect of their life they don't want to see. And the more religious they are, by today's standards of religion, the more they will carry those characteristics into their life, and it will form their lifestyle and the aspects of their life. I'll have to do more of the next show later this afternoon, which you all know about if you're a part of the network, and get into some of the aspects of how to free yourself from this. But basically, it's exactly what John the Baptist said. Start taking what you produce that's extra and sharing it with others. In a way of righteousness. Now, you don't want to be weakening the poor. You want to be strengthening them. In order to do this, you need to organize yourselves. If you do not organize yourselves, some surveillance group, which we talked about earlier, will come along, collect the data, which they already are doing, surveillance data from multiple federal agencies, including the CDC, Health Resources Services Administration, and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administrations, and others. They're accumulating all this data from the driver's license database, everything. and they're creating a dossier on you to figure out if you got ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. You cannot beat these guys. There are too many zombies. You need the song of the Lamb, the song of Moses, and the song of the Lamb. Why both songs? Because they harmonize. What is some of the common things that we see? Love thy neighbor as thyself. There's one. Is it love to covet your neighbor's goods, to force your neighbor and your neighbor's children and grandchildren to pay for what you want today because you don't want to work for the education of your children? You want to get it for free today? So you force your neighbor through men who exercise authority to pay for your children's education today? Homeschool, home health, home social welfare. I tell you, when you really get involved in that, now you will start to see miracles. But I'm just telling you. I don't want you to believe because I tell you. I want you to believe because something in your heart says, I don't want to take a bite out of my neighbor anymore. I don't want to devour my neighbor anymore. I want to go the ways of Christ. I want to stop, you know, this guy who shakes his fist at Israel. You know, there are very few Israelis sneaking over the border to go work for Arabs and then sneaking back at night, you know, so that they can take care of their families, because the only place they get a good job is over on the Arab side. But there are lots of Arabs that are sneaking over and working for the Israelis and then go back and work, you know, to take care of their family. But they can get good jobs, good paying jobs, with people who treat them fairly on the Israeli side. But if the people back on the Arab side find out, somebody will kill them. Now, is everybody on the Arab side like that? No. But that exists on the Arab side because people got their religion that's preoccupying. They're not interested in righteousness. They're interested in their religion. Now, you'll find the same thing on both sides. But I'm not pro-Israel. I'm pro-righteousness. The Israeli government does all kinds, and they have a lot of Israelis, people who are citizens of that government, protesting the injustices that they do. You do that over on the Arab side, and you're likely to get your throat slit. So, but it's not a question of them or us. It's a question of righteousness. So what is righteous? What is good? And what I see a lot of times is there's been a few righteous people here and there. They're so few and they're scattered and they're way apart from each other. And I don't want them coming all together in one place like the Ozarks, especially with guys out there inviting every zombie who can get on the internet to come there as their survival headquarters. They'll have millions and millions of survivalist zombies out there trying to kill each other. I don't want them all coming here. I want them to go to the Living Network and start caring for one another. And then God will show you where to be when. I can tell you this, that if you're not moving according to the Holy Spirit, if you're stepping 5 feet over to the right or to the left of the path that God wants you to be on, you're liable to get killed. I mean, he literally, you know, like you see in the movie where the guy moves real fast and all these guys start shooting and he's running around, you know, as if time is standing still, and he's moving all the bullets out of the way and moving the hand over here so this guy punches his head. And God's angels do that all the time. Miraculously, people are saved all the time if you're seeking the kingdom of God. I mean, he will tell you, you won't even see the car coming. He'll make your foot step on the brake. Just slam on the brake. Send everybody lunging forward in the car, but you just saved everybody's life. And you didn't even see what was coming. I mean, you just, All of a sudden you decide to move over here and something crashes right where you should have, would have been, because something moved you over. You know, he points out, he says, those people are stalking you. Thousands of people on the street, and he says, those two there, look at those two, notice them, okay? They're stalking you. And he shows you this. That's the way the kingdom of God works. It's everywhere, is the kingdom of God. It has to do with what you're spiritually connected to. If you hate the system, you will be drawn into the system, because hate is a form of worship used in hell all the time. Love, righteousness, love, sacrifice, love, forgiveness. Pay attention to those things. Gathering together in a congregation today, everybody is going to step on your toes. Barefoot or not, they're going to step on your toes, because nobody knows how to dance the dance of liberty. Nobody knows how to do that. We are so awkward on the dance floor of life that we don't know how to dance together as a free people. If you were given freedom today, you wouldn't know what to do with it. You would immediately go into another form of bondage. You need to do what Christ actually says. You need to sacrifice daily. You need to forgive daily. Trying to form a congregation of record, you will have ample opportunity for forgiveness. People will be slothful, and you'll have to forgive them. People will, they will let you down time and time again. They will put things off. They will forget to do things. They will be selfish to themselves. They won't give as much as they should give. Oh, wonderful opportunities for forgiveness and patience and the practice of patience. I mean, you've done the covetous practices for years. You know, I never went to public school, but everybody I know went to public school. And your parents taught you that way from the beginning. And now you have no resource. You know, you're 65 years old. You have no resource but to go on Social Security. I'm not going. I'm going to depend on you guys. I'm going to depend on other people helping me out when I'm too old to work. You know, I was pointing out to one of our ministers, we were working, digging a hole, laying these huge blocks of cement to try to anchor down our mobile office. It's no longer mobile. We're going to make it unmobile, because it actually flew about 50 feet through the air during one of our 100-mile-an-hour windstorms. It's still in pretty good shape, but we're going to anchor it down, and we were working to do that. And he says, "Where were you stiff yesterday when we lifted up this old building and turned it over?" And I says, "You know, you get to my age, you're stiff every day, whether you work or not." But I says, "You know," and he says, "I don't want to be doing this kind of manual work the rest of my life." And I says, "Well, I've been doing it all my life. And Levites are supposed to retire from physical labor at 55. And he goes, "What?" I says, "It's in the Bible, 55. A Levite's not supposed to be having to do physical labor anymore." "Well, I'm well over a decade overdue for that retirement." "And why?" "Because you guys are not Sabbath keepers." And I haven't always been a Sabbath keeper. But I'm in debt to no man. Can you say the same? Oh, you can shake your fist at the debt. You can shake your fist at the injustices of the world. But are you willing to see the shadow of your own injustices? I tell you, there's a spiritual awakening coming. You're not going to get on this radio. In the Living Network, we can bring it to you. You bring the light in. I just thought it was just amazing in the article about Freud and Jung that he talks about. Everything outside the light of consciousness. And see, so I have to tell you the truth. I have to tell you that you are not following the ways of John the Baptist, of Jesus Christ, of of Moses, of Abraham, so that you repent, turn around, and start following the ways of Abraham, Moses, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jesus Christ. Start taking care of one another out of love. I have to tell you to do that, so that we bring, that we can bring the light of consciousness to those shadow areas of your life. The psychologists knew everyone carries a shadow. And the less it is embodied in the individual's conscious life, that light of consciousness, the blacker and denser it comes. And then evil can actually operate in there and influence you heavily. But, you know, if you bring the light to an evil man, if you shine that light out and you can't do it, you don't have the power. This is something, this is a gift from God. The biggest, brutish, meanest guy will grovel, will seek to bow down and even serve your needs. And he can't do anything about it. I mean, this is real. This is powerful. But if you had a whole nation of people, fire would come down from heaven and stand between you and the evil. And you wouldn't have to live in the Ozark Plateau. You could live anywhere. And you would be protected. Because you have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. But if you're not going to live according to the ways of righteousness, if you're not going to live by, like Christ came in sacrifice, then you will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And you will cry out in that day, and no one will come to your aid. You have to repent. You have to turn around. You have to go the other way. The way of righteousness. The way of giving and forgiving. Jung writes, the project-making factor, the shadow archetype, then has a free hand and can realize its object if it has one or bring about some other situation characteristic of its power. What's he talking about there? The shadow, in being instinctive and irrational, is prone to psychological projection in which a perceived personal inferiority is recognized as a perceived moral deficiency in someone else. In other words, if you don't join their system, and if you go and you look up Christian conflict on our Preparing You site, you can read an article that will explain this, the Christian conflict. They believe that they perceived a moral deficiency in someone else. And this is why they are surveilling your children in school. Every time you go to the doctor and fill out one of those forms. All these agencies, CDC, everybody, are accumulating that information. And they are going to project in you a moral deficiency. And they are going to call good evil and evil good. And the only power that will protect you is the power of the Holy Spirit. Repent, turn around, gather together, love one another. Till then, peace upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.